Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're going to be hearing from Dave in just a moment. But before we do that, we want to let you know about what we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks as we move towards the end of April and into May. We're going to take a couple of weeks to talk about and share a little bit about global work again. We did that a few weeks ago, but we have a unique opportunity where a number of our global workers from all over are going to be coming together. And so next week, I'll be doing some teaching, and Ryan will be teaching in Willoughby, but we're also going to be joined by Jonathan. And Jonathan is one of our global workers who serves in a restricted access nation. So we can't tell you where he serves, but he's going to come and tell you a little bit about who they are, their family does, and what God has been doing through them where they are. So we're excited to do that next week. On May 6th, we are excited to listen to Zach Wiley. Zach and Megan are a part of this church. This is their church home. And Zach actually was one of my roommates years ago, and they now serve along with Matt and Amber Price, who are other people who are from this community, sent from this community in Thailand. So we're excited to hear from Zach. So we're going to have a bit of a global work flavor over the next couple of weeks, and that's where we're going to be heading. So we invite you to be a part of that. But Dave's going to come today and share a message. So let's say hi to Dave, and we'll go from there. Good to see you, Dave.
I can get that anywhere. That's so funny. I always say a sitting ovation. Yeah, I can get that anywhere. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here. And if we've not met yet, I would love the chance to do that. And perhaps that could even happen this morning at the end of our meeting. I'm talk about my meeting place, the title, I'm happy to share some staff announcements and some updates. The spring of 2017... the Living Waters Council approved a policy allowing permanent staff members to apply for a ministerial sabbatical. A number of years ago, I was gifted a sabbatical when I was serving within our district. It was a 12-week sabbatical, and it was an unbelievable experience related to personal development, rest and replenishment, coaching, mentoring, and it was certainly, as I look back, a beautiful highlight in my personal journey. So joining the team in January, I was thrilled to think that our Living Waters Council is so interested in the health and journey of our team members. So bringing that policy into the new year, last year, while there were a number of team members that qualified to apply, because of Doug and Linda's transition, the timing wasn't best. And so as we begin this new year, we're pleased to update you that Deanna Goodman, who serves our children and preteen, she's in the middle of her ministerial sabbatical, and it's involving all kinds of wonderful things, and we are having frequent and regular updates from her, and we're just so pleased on the journey that she's on right now, and will be returning in a number of weeks. The announcement relates to Luke Knight, as he has been approved by our council a couple months ago, actually, that this summer he would be able to enjoy a 12-week ministerial sabbatical. So I'm so happy for him to be able to, and Sarah, to have this time of rest for personal development, for replenishment, for learning and journey. And you can tell even he's already started talking about sandals and birds. I mean, he's already started to transition. You can just tell with that. He's looking up at the sky. No, not at all. He's busier than he's ever been, and he's helping us prepare for the summer, and it's going to be awesome. Congratulations. And thank you. If you have any questions, that maybe stirs some questions. There are answers maybe to some of the questions you have, so please let us know, and we'll be happy to talk to you about that. Who is the most famous or important person that you've ever met? I'm actually going to risk this. Someone would yell out, don't say me, Luke, say someone else. The most important person, what's that? Really? Okay, anybody want to beat that? because he's the boss, right? Like, we're not going to be able to beat that. Why would we dare try? Okay, well, let me tell you about mine. Well, Usher, could you? No. When I was in college, the city of Peterborough organized a fundraising hockey game, and it was to bring the NHL old-timers into town. And for some reason, I was selected to play on the other team, because I certainly wasn't an NHL player, but I was chosen and selected to play against the NHL old-timers. And it was awesome. I just remember vividly, skating onto the ice and the fans and Peterborough Memorial Center. And then, of course, being on the ice with some of these ever-present, long-standing childhood heroes, hockey heroes of mine. Yvonne Cornoyer, I'm dating myself here, but Yvonne Cornoyer and Steve Schutt, Bobby Hall. I mean, these people, and I was on the ice. These ever-present, long-time heroes, and now I was on the ice being pushed by them, and I was being slashed by them. And what's all that, man? And it was a neat experience to move from knowing about somebody to actually experiencing them. And that's kind of what this very simple message this morning is about. The difference between knowing that someone exists and actually experiencing them. I think if we could easily build a case to say that God doesn't just want to have his people know of his existence. He actually wants us to experience his existence. Would we agree? We would agree with that, I think. He wants his people to experience him. This certainly falls in line with our Greater Love series that we began the first part of the year with, the idea that Christianity is about God drawing near to us and us meeting him as he does in this moment in time. So to develop this thought more deeply, one would say that central to spiritual formation, spiritual encounter, spiritual vitality, is you and I accepting the invitation given by God, to meet with him. He wants to meet with us. And there are many places in the Bible where this is illustrated. And I want to look at one at the very beginning of the Old Testament today, because as you read the Bible from cover to cover, you see that how central, there's this theme that runs from cover to cover in the Bible of how central it is for people to build this meeting place, right? This meeting place with God. And Exodus chapter 20 calls it an altar, a meeting place with God. So it says, make an altar of earth for me. And on it, give your burnt and peace gifts in worship, your sheep and cattle. And every place where my name is to be remembered, I will come to you and I will bring good to you. So here we have a little bit of a transition happening in mankind's journey, because God being an ever-present, always near God is inviting the building of a sacred place for more of a divine encounter. And again, Exodus calls, and as you look through the Bible, Exodus and beyond calls this place an altar. Build for me an altar, and I'll meet you there. An ever-present relationship growing through an encounter at a place called an altar, or at this sacred meeting place. So very simply today, let's look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today, as it relates to this thought of a meeting place. In the Old Testament, beginning in Exodus, and then central to this covenant and the requirements of the law, again, as I'm repeating myself, was the building and the gathering around an altar. Exodus 24, then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning, Moses got up and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Exodus 27, verse 1, talks about, in the Old Testament at least, build this altar with acacia wood and make it these certain sizes. Verse 2 talks about the horns. Verse 8 talks about the planks and about the showcasing of it. And then Exodus 28 talks about those who would serve or tend to the altar, and there were certain requirements, 28 verse 43. Aaron and his sons would enter the tabernacle or approach the altar in this holy place, and it was describing what they're to wear. So we've come a long way, haven't we? For there is where the journey begins of, again, moving the ever-present relationship to encounter. And it starts with some of these, this Levitical law that God had in his mind to set in place. But what the Old Testament law did is it guarded the altar. There were religious reasons for that. But then on the other side of that, God instituted religious holidays and festivals and holy days that were set in place to invite people and guide people continually back to the altar. That's why some of those religious laws were set in place. Hey, don't get too far away. Keep coming back. And these traditions, these laws, these festivals always guided people back to the centrality of this encounter with God. It's interesting to note that as I was thinking about this week, every time there was an Israelite enemy, one of the strategic things that they did to dominate and control the Israelites was to destroy the altar. Right? You can see that in Judges and Chronicles, and certainly when you look at some of the ministry of the major and minor prophets, it was a strategic interest of their enemies to take away the centrality of the altar, right? And they did it very intentionally. So there you have noted some of the lectures or some of the sermons, if you would, of the priests and the prophets. Many times the themes of their appeal was, hey, people, rebuild your altar. Reestablish the altar because you don't go far in your spiritual journey or pilgrimage without, you can't bypass the altar. In the New Testament, we see the development of this altar. Of course, the New Testament represents New Covenant. And that, of course, New Covenant came to fulfill all the liturgy of the Old Testament. So Jesus shows up. And Jesus' death happened on a cross central to our stage that became an altar, right? If you think about it, it was an altar. It was there, the sacrifice of Jesus was placed on the cross or the altar, and a number of things happened from that day forward. Jesus' death satisfied once and for all the requirements of the Old Testament law, and in doing that, initiated something else, and it was called, of course, this new covenant between God and man. So when Jesus died, the religious guard that was around the altar was torn, allowing mankind now personal opportunity to experience God for themselves and not do it through the Levitical order. Matthew 27 says, and at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And we don't talk a lot about that symbolic action. Actually, it's a supernatural action. It wasn't somebody in the back, you know, cutting it with scissors. It was this moment when God said, okay, you're free to have access. But again, with that access and freedom, now there's a huge responsibility that we now, not guided by the law or the festivals of the Old Testament, now we have to find a way to make ourselves, to find our way back personally. Does that make sense? So when you follow the Easter weekend story along, Jesus' resurrection established himself as that new meeting place, as that altar. So that's why God would often, in the New Testament, would always say, hey, come meet my son. Come experience my son. Come move away from an ever-present relationship and come experience my son, the meeting place with God. The need for a meeting place is still possible, but now New Covenant Christians don't have the Old Testament law to obey or altar to build. We come with the freedom that has been provided for us because of the cross. So this new covenant relationship grows by a knowledge of God being ever present and by having an ongoing life-changing experience with Jesus as he moves by his Spirit today. So what about today? So if that's the Old Testament and that's the New Testament, what about today? How do we get ourselves to this altar? How do you grow in our understanding of an ever-present relationship and grow in a relationship that matures through experience? Well, they often say, you know, if you want to know, go back to the beginning. So let's go back to our text and see four things here. The first thing we see, again, back from Exodus 20, is this idea of this, and you can see it underlined, this burnt offering. What do we do with that? There's no cattle. There's no pigeons, right? Because that was the Old Testament. There would be in behind the altar, you know, bring out the cows, right? We're not doing that. But how humorous it seems to say that, because in some ways it's ridiculous, but that's what they did. That was the law. We need to build an altar, and there needs to be something placed on it. And so actually there was the rearing of cattle and the rearing of pigeons, if you would, to bring the, you know, to have something to us. So what do we do with that? This burnt offering, well, what was the purpose of it? A person could bring a burnt offering at any time. It was a sacrifice of general atonement, an acknowledgement of someone's personal sin nature and requesting for renewed relationship with God. This burnt gift or this burnt offering, there was systems and there was routines that people would regularly come and bring a burnt offering. It was done every morning and evening. It was done each Sabbath, which is a weekly expression. It was done at the beginning of each month. It was done at Passover, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Trumpets. So what about today? Because we're not doing that, right? So what are we doing? So what are we doing? Well, we see here God sharing a promise through the cross that when you as a person and me as a person confess our sin, when we fall short of the glory of God, when we confess our shortcoming, God says, I will meet you there. I'll meet you there. When you confess, I will meet you there. 24/7. I will meet you when you bow with a purpose like that at an altar. I'll meet you. That's good news. I've bowed at that altar many, many, many times. And I would probably guess that you have too. And what we learn from the Old Testament is the regularity and the necessity of it, right? And then what we learn through the New Testament is God will meet us there. Because of that. The second gift here is the peace gift. Bring your peace gift in worship. Peace gifts were offered to God in gratitude for blessings and benefits received. A peace offering was given as a free will offering, something spontaneously given and devoted to God. It's kind of like this, you know, this gift of excitement and appreciation. And I think as a community, I think it will be really good for us to begin to think that when we spend a lot, if you're new here, you'll notice something about Living Waters. We spend a considerable amount of time worshiping God. And that surprises some people. When you come together, you sing for so long. Yeah, we do. And some would like us to sing a lot longer, and some would like us to sing a little less. But the point is this, it's not about length. The point is it's about intention. And what we're doing, and I think it'd be really wise for us to begin to think that when we sing songs that thank God for things that he does, we're actually building an altar together, right? And we're actually placing upon it this peace gift to say, God, wow, you're faithful, you're helpful, you counsel me, you strengthen me. And in some ways, I kind of think in this room, you know, we're creating, symbolically at least, this wonderful place where God says, yeah, that's a peace gift, and I receive it. So whether we do that alone or whether we do it together, when you say thanks, God says, I'll meet you there. That becomes a meeting place with God, a very sacred place. The third piece we see here is the piece called Be Remembered, this place of remember. It's interesting, last Sunday we shared communion, and we read from a passage which says, do this in remembrance of me. How interesting that a lot of the Old Testament, and then certainly carried into the New Testament, is people remember. Don't forget. Don't forget. So the communion table, come in remembrance of me. And then we see here the building of an altar for the purposes of remembering. Remembering who he is. So again, peace is because of what he's done. This peace of remembrance is based upon who he is. Because sometimes we struggle with the gap there, right? God being the, by definition, healer, but he hasn't healed. God the sustainer, but we're tired. And so here, the differentiation is very, very clear and very, very necessary, right? Make sense? So we come to bring and to build an altar of remembrance, a place where we remind ourselves who this wonderful counselor is, who this mighty God is, who this everlasting Father is, who the Prince of Peace is. I love the songs that declare who he is. I like songs that remind me of who I am. I appreciate as well songs that declare who he is. And then we discover who we are in light of who he is. And that's what this altar is about. So God's saying here, hey, when you personally or when you're in a group gathering, when you declare and you remember the things that I've taught you, I will meet you there. The last place in this text is a place where God brings good things to us. There's this promise that says, I will come to you and I will bring good to you. So we've got a burnt gift, a peace gift, a gift of remembrance, and then here's God given back. God says, I'll come to you and I'll bring good to you. It's a place to receive. Luke said a few weeks ago, prayer is a place where we remember our limitations. Prayer is stepping into the true reality that you and I are in need. Prayer is coming to the end of ourselves and beginning on a road with God. So here again, to broaden that somewhat, this altar place is moving again from an ever-present relationship to saying, God, I need to encounter you because I stand in a place of need. I need you. Because I can't find it within myself right now. I need you. An altar is a place to ask, and it's a place to receive. It's a place of petition for ourselves and for others. And some of you today are walking through some very difficult things. And I want to encourage you to take your great need to a safe place. It's called the altar. And let the Lord help you and sustain you. Genesis 12 says, then Abram proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent, and there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. I trust that part of your spiritual journey includes calling upon the name of the Lord. So God says, build an altar, call upon me, and I'll meet you there. I'll bring good things to you. God says, stop striving and start receiving, and I'll meet you there, and I'll bring good things to you. Julie and I will celebrate our 28th anniversary in a few weeks. 28. That girl over there. June 9th, 1990, and invite the worship team to join me. There's not a day since June 9th, 1990, that I've not thought that I'm married. pretty smart, eh? That's a good thing. Because our marriage, it's an ever-present thing. It had a beginning, and it's ever-present. I've never ever thought that I'm not married. But when Julie, it's an ever-present thing. So when Julie and I, you know, go for a walk or hang out or have some fun together, we experience each other in a way that's different from acknowledging this ongoing, ever-present thing. Our relationship becomes more real. It becomes more experiential due to us experiencing each other. And friends, this morning, God is inviting each of us to go and grow beyond our ever-present relationship with Him. To begin or to continually encounter Him. Moving from simply knowing about God to one that includes meeting with God. And we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we see for today, that that happens as we take our place through initiation and through the invitation of the Lord to build an altar. It's called a meeting place with God. We have a number of minutes left. And in a few moments, Luke's going to come and conclude our service. But before he does, I want to encourage you to find a meeting place with your God. And for all of us, that looks so differently, and it's allowed to look differently. For some of you this morning, that altar would be most appropriately pursued, perhaps through a peace offering and saying, hey, I'm so thankful, oh God, for all these wonderful things. And you would build an altar around a peace gift, saying, God, you're so good to me. For others, perhaps it would be this area of remembrance, because a little bit of a gap between things that are happening and who He is. So I'm just going to remember who you say you are. I'm going to declare that today. For others, you have great needs, and you need to build an altar. Quite frankly, you need to build an altar around those things that you need within your life, and you need God to show up. And very unapologetically, you say, God, I call upon the name of the Lord today. Or perhaps maybe it's this burnt gift of saying, I'm not walking well with God right now, and I'm leaning upon the graces and the goodness of my Lord to say, God, forgive me and help me, because I'm not in a good place with you. So wherever you're at today, I want to encourage you to build an altar. I'm going to invite you to stand. Our worship team is going to lead us in a song that kind of moves us all to think about the same thing. It says, come to the altar. We want to just, again, Luke's going to come in just a few moments, but I want to encourage everyone here to do something outward as it represents what's going on inward. The best place for you maybe to express that, I'm not sure, would maybe to come to the front of this room and say, God, I just build an altar. I just stand. For some of you, it may be turning and kneeling. For some, it may be just sticking your hand up and saying, God, help me. I'm the guy in need today, and I'm just raising my hand and saying, help me, oh God. For some, you might want to just sit and contemplate and reflect that how beautiful those moments are. But as our worship team leads us and guides us, I want to encourage you to create a meeting place, a meeting space, and let your Lord do good things within your life today. So thanks for leading us this morning.
Lord, we stand, or we sit, or we kneel in your presence. First of all, incredibly thankful for your presence. Thank you that you are near. Thank you for what the cross means. Thank you for living amongst us, for dying amongst us, for living again, so that at any moment we can know you, we can experience the proximity of your grace and your love. Thank you for what you're doing all throughout this morning through this space. We ask that you'd continue it, that as we've intended, as Dave has led us, to come to you in a moment with a level of intention and clarity, we ask that you'd meet us further this week, that you'd deepen that, Jesus. for those of us that are bringing to you things that are incredibly heavy and too much for us to carry, we leave them where we've left these things, Jesus. We leave them with you. For those of us that have come with issues of the heart, ways that we know we have strayed, with toxic stuff, we leave that with you. Those of us who have come simply wanting to be closer to you, aware that we've allowed other things to creep in and take up space and time, we ask, Jesus, that you'd help us to continue to stay close to you. Thank you for all that you give, Jesus, and for all of the inches that we've moved towards you. We remember the millions of miles you've moved close towards us. Thank you for your pursuit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you've established in our lives. We ask that as we go into this week, that you would bless us further, that we'd receive all the good that you've promised way back to us. Psalm 75 begins this way. We thank you, God. We give thanks because you are near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. Bless you this morning as you go. We look forward to seeing you throughout the rest of this week and invite you to come on back next Sunday as we talk about global work. Have a great rest of your Sunday.